The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Laszlo from Atlanta, Georgia, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast. Roll Tide.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 217. Of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Michael Scopa from the WDW Today Podcast and touringplans.com. And with me on the show is my co-host, Michelle Scribner-McLean.
You are enunciating so clearly
today. Yes, I am. I'm in enunciating mood.
Okay. Well, thank you, Michael Scopa, for that lovely introduction.
De nada.
I have a shout out is my habit at this point in the show. And we have a lot of friends who ran the Chicago Marathon, and we have a lot of friends who ran the Hartford Half Marathon and Marathon in Hartford, Connecticut. So I want to give all of them a shout out. A special shout out to our buddy Liz Driscoll, who ran her first marathon today in her home state. So I know that is very special, and she worked really hard. So congratulations to Liz.
Teachers do run, huh?
Teachers are awesome.
Congratulations,
they rock.
Liz. Congratulations.
Especially third grade teachers.
Third grade teachers. And what do teachers do? They answer questions.
I know. And guess who just wandered into Mickey Miles Podcast Studio once again?
Not Jeff Galloway.
Not Jeff Galloway. No. He's Dopey Runner on Twitter. Yes.
No, you don't mean.
Yes, I do mean.
Really?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mickey. Oh, no.
please. It's Chris. Chris is back. Yay, Christopher Smith is back with us. And he has graciously agreed to answer and do another marathon Mickey Miles podcast for all of you doing very long runs. We're going to answer questions today. Hey, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Oh, I hope you're well hydrated because this is going to be a long one.
Oh, boy.
All right. Some of us do like seven podcasts in a day, but...
We won't mention any names.
All right. So are we ready for questions?
You first, Michelle.
All right.
Yeah.
Since Chris doesn't have the questions in front of him, it's just going to have to be you and I. All right. It's from Bob Chavez, the first one. And he says, Mike and Michelle, I just finished listening to the 200th episode podcast. Congratulations on your accomplishment. Sometimes I'm amazed that I've made it 200 days in a row alive. Well, it must be a stuntman or something. I have not run a Run Disney event, but I still want to. Generally speaking, when are the dates announced for Run Disney races? Specifically, when will Run Disney announce the date for the 2015 Food and Wine Marathon? And or when will they likely take place? The first full weekend of November? November 7th or the 2nd? Saturday, November 14th. Since this year, the race is on the second Saturday, the 8th. I wasn't sure when the events were typically announced. Thank you for the podcast, Bob. So it just happens this week that Run Disney announced all the races for the year. And
last week
they announced all the races for the year, and I have to look to stop and look, unless you know, Chris, off the top of your head.
I've got it right here. The Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend next year is November 6th and 7th, 2015.
So that's the first weekend. So as we mentioned on the previous podcast, Run Disney announced all the races, the whole race schedule for the year, which was very helpful to people. And so That's something that they typically haven't done, though, Mike. When do they usually announce the races?
For the most part, the calendar is usually on a 8 to a 9 month kind of a schedule. So anything that is going to happen, let's say in September, would be announced in January, and back it up. So, but they've decided that it would be best if they let everybody know ahead of time. And I think for a number of reasons, I think there were a lot of people who were caught off guard, excuse me, with the Castaway Key challenge, and then the announcement for the Star Wars race and the Avengers race, of course. So I think that they wanted to give everybody enough time to plan. And I think another reason why they announced it is that they wanted to give enough time for people to register, because they're telling people not only when the races are, but when registration opens, because they don't want to be caught without, you know, their registrations full, of course.
Yeah, they might have to plan their hotel stays.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I told you it was a good idea to have Chris. He answered that
first
question
for us. Yeah.
Well, I think Bob also asked when to register, and then March 17th of 2015. So about 5 months from now, you can register for Wine and Dine.
There you go.
Thank you.
There you go.
That list was really helpful that they put out. I hope they can continue to do that.
Yeah. So they don't have, I mean, that, and that list goes to May 2016.
So I wonder if, because there's no Terror, if Wine and Dine will sell out more quickly, because I definitely would be more inclined to do that one.
I just hope that they don't fill in a slot here and there.
Oh, yeah. Surprise races.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep. Our next
question.
Our next question comes from Mary, who hails from Peoria, Illinois. And she says, thank you for your recent program on running unmentionables. This is really the kind of frank talk we all need to hear, but no one wants to talk about. So in that spirit, I have a few thoughts. I have never encountered issues with toenails, but now I know to be very careful about the fit of shoes. My local running store always sells shoes at least one size larger than normal, so I guess they have been looking out for me. However, cutting the toenails very short may not be the best solution for everyone. Those with a tendency toward ingrown toenails should avoid cutting their nails too short. And as for the number one and two issues, another solution, rather than the pack of tissues can be...
I think she means number one and number two.
Oh, and number two issues. Another solution rather than the pack of tissues can be the personal hygiene wipes, like wet ones, fresh and flush. They are individually wrapped like wet ones and can be very useful, but don't forget the tissues. You'll still need them for that runny nose many of us get when running in cooler weather. And one more unmentionable thought. Even with the sweaty bands, you can have issues with sweat running into your face. Be sure to use lotions or sunscreen that won't sweat off into your eyes. That can really sting. That's my two cents. I really appreciate the podcast. Thanks, Mike and Michelle, for all you do. Well, thanks, Mary, for those tips. I'm sure that that will be put on the list of the other things that Michelle and myself and Chris Haliopoulos mentioned.
Yeah, we have to really thank Chris's wife, Audra, for that show idea. That was her show idea. Wet ones, fresh and flush. I'm definitely going to have to put that on my list. That's a good idea. Chris, any thoughts about that?
My only thought is I like the way Mike pronounced that. I thought he emphasized the fresh and flush so well. I was ready to go out and buy some.
And I always run with those little packages of tissues too, but it's a great idea for the sports sunscreen to get stuff that doesn't run into your face. Good. All right. All right, the next question is from Lauren Robinson, and she says, hey, y'all. I guess she's not from New England. How do you get over a very disappointing run? I'm training for the BAA half. Well, this actually is today, the day we're recording, is the BAA half. Yep. So maybe she is from New England. So that BAA, for those playing along at home, is Boston Athletic Association. And after last week's long run, I was actually thinking I could do this. And I, now that after this week's run, I'm terrified of being swept. I need tricks on training my brain to be more positive more often. So this is really interesting because I've noticed on our Mickey Miles Facebook page and also on the Mickey Milers page that, you know, people are really saying not every run is going the way that I want it to. So Chris, have you ever experienced this? And what would you do? What would you say to Lauren?
I have, and I've shared some of my thoughts on that Facebook page, and it's really just echoing what sort of tips that you and Mike and I've heard from Eddie McCoy as well, which is just to acknowledge it's okay, because we all do have those bad runs. Sometimes I found that the fitness community, if you will, especially the Run Disney running community, can be over the top in terms of excitement and enthusiasm. And you might get the perspective that, hey, I'm the only person that's having this bad run. Everyone else is so positive and upbeat all the time. But obviously, that's not the case. And just it's okay to admit that, hey, you know what, this run didn't go as well as I wanted it to, or I ended it 30 seconds in because I just knew it wasn't going my way. And just chalk it up to experience and go out for your next run with a fresh perspective.
You're absolutely right, Chris. Actually, today that happened to me. I just couldn't do it. And I just said, well, you know, today's not my day. I wanted to address something that Lauren mentioned, that she was terrified of being swept. And I when we did our review on the Tower of Terror last week, I meant to bring this up. I don't know what's going on in Red Disney's head, but I have noticed over the last year that they are either succumbing to, I don't know, feelings or whatever, but I have known people who have not finished races and who have been given medals. So, and I think that's a very slippery slope. On the one hand, I think that's nice, but on the other hand, how many miles do you have to go so that you do get the medal, even though you swept? So,
well, I think that could be a whole nother show.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Could be a whole nother show, but I don't know. I think that we did a whole podcast about this when I had a really bad day when I felt like running was a job. And I know one of the things that I have done is to back off on my training runs and do some other things. And just kind of, you know, I'm doing the Helen Dunn goofy training, which is she always calls herself the slacker runner. Mm. So I'm doing the slacker runner and I'm just training to finish these races and finish them feeling good. Today I went out and had a great run, felt terrific, felt really nice. But I agree, Chris, that sometimes when you look on Facebook and when you hear what people are saying, it seems like everybody's having fabulous days every day, and that's just not the case. It's like learning to play the piano or any other type of thing that you want to get better at it. Some days are great. Some days are not.
Yeah, ball right. players have bad days,
yep.
you know?
Yep, everybody has a bad day. Teachers have bad days. I'm sure other people who work at
podcasters,
colleges, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't always feel like doing the podcast.
Sometimes you mail it in.
We do it because we love you. All right. The next one. Go ahead, Mike.
The next one comes from Lena Holmes, and she says, hi there. She says, I have recently returned from an amazing trip to the United States, which all started with the Disneyland 10K, my first fun run ever. It was a long and arduous road for me, involving surgery on both legs, plus unscheduled emergency gallbladder surgery, all since the end of February. I began listening to your podcast a few months ago, which helped immensely, not only with Run Disney-specific information, but running in general. I completed both the 5K and the 10K at the half marathon weekend with my parents and my husband by my side. And it was one of the most amazing experiences of my life so far. We are now hoping to make the trip from Australia again next year for the half. I've just been catching up on some podcasts today, and among them was your Disneyland half marathon recap. As soon as I heard Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride start playing in the background, I burst into tears. I was suddenly thrust back into that moment in the starting corrals, my family beside me, with all the excitement for the unknown and huge achievements yet to come. I relived the entire weekend through your podcast and have been sitting here in contemplative silence. Contemplative silence since it finished, with tears still in my eyes. So thank you, not only for all the great information I have learned from your podcast, but also for taking me back to that moment and allowing me to relive my memories with such intensity. Lana, you know, Michelle, reading this, I think we, those of us who've been running for a long time and doing a lot of Run Disney events, we can very easily forget the emotion from crossing that finish line for the first time. And this kind of reminds us about that.
We had talked about Tammy Trout in our Tower of Terror race preview. And I know, Chris, you had mentioned that you were hoping that I would give Tammy a shout out. And I think this kind of, I think you're connecting with that too, that what Lana is feeling is what a lot of us feel, that, you know, these races are, for many of us, not just an experience getting out there running, but really overcoming some barrier or reaching some goal that we had put out there for ourselves. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And to it helps me to go back and remember those emotions that I had when I see Tammy's incredible success, or I hear stories like Lerna just shared about how your podcast put her back in that place too. It's great.
Really nice. Thank you so much for taking the time to write to us. I don't know that we'll be going back to, I can only speak for myself. I don't think I'll be doing Disneyland next year in August, but please keep listening and let us know about your progress, Lana. We're happy that you're a listener.
Michelle, should we now turn to one of our audio questions?
Sure. So this is from Amy in Alabama.
Let's listen.
Hi, this is Amy from Mobile, Alabama, and I just wanted to thank you for doing the podcast. It is very entertaining and informative and inspiring. I have three questions for you today. My first question is, I'm doing my first run Disney race, the Glass Slipper Challenge, in February, and was curious if your dessert party at Fantasmic went well, if y'all would consider planning another one or have any meetups scheduled at the Princess Half Marathon weekend. My second question is about the expo. I've never been to a race expo before, and I will have to go on Thursday to pick up the race packet for my son's kid race on Friday, and was curious what the best time would be to go when there won't be as many crowds. I would like to look around, but I'm not really worried about buying too much merchandise. And my third question is, your episode about Disney music that you listen to while you run, you talked about the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Parade, but I couldn't find it on iTunes. So I was curious where you downloaded the music from or bought it from. Thank you for all you do. Have a great day.
Okay, so Amy had three questions, and the first one was, she knew that we had a dessert party for the Tower of Terror, and she was wondering if we were going to have any dessert parties coming up specifically at the Princess.
Right now, we do not have plans to attend the Princess Half Marathon. That could change, but right now we don't. And as soon as we have any type of information, solid information regarding any dessert parties or meets,
there could be something coming up.
There could be something,
We're always in talks with Becky Mankin.
We will announce as soon as possible so everyone gets a chance to participate and meet and talk with everybody.
Right. And so, you know, even if we don't have a dessert party, we have so many Mickey Milers now that we have, you know, for instance, in Wine and Dine, Rich Gehring has agreed to do a meetup there. And we know there'll be meetups of Mickey Milers. So keep your eyes and ears open. Her second question, Chris, was that she wants to go to the expo and she has to pick up race bib for her son who's racing on Friday. On Thursday, what time would you recommend that she gets to the expo?
This is for the princess?
Yes. Let's let Chris answer this one.
Okay, Chris.
I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. I'll defer to Mike.
Okay.
I'll bet that you would have said the same thing. As soon as it opens, you don't. The Princess Half Marathon has become, Princess Race Weekend, I should say, has become very, very popular. I used to always recommend that be the first weekend.
But she's looking to avoid the crowd. She doesn't really want to buy much at the expo, but she wants to avoid the crowds.
So, Amy, as soon as you see the schedule and as soon as you know when the expo is going to open, the bib pickup, I would go as soon as you can.
And I'm going to say something different. I'm going to say wait till later in the day, because usually the expos are open until 8 at night, and I would say wait till like 4 or 5 and go.
If you can,
4 or 5 p.m., because I think at that point, you know, historically, the initial crowds have died down, and there's some people there, but I would wait. So
that's,
you have two
point,
different
Michelle.
Answers.
I kind of agree with you. Maybe I'd go in the, you know, spend that time enjoying the parks, and then maybe around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, leave the parks and go to the expo.
Okay. And the last question that she had, actually a few people on Twitter have asked this question too, that, on our favorite Disney music show, we talked about the music from the Boo to You parade, and she was wondering where we got that, so that she wasn't able to find it on iTunes. Or she's wondering where we found it, and did we find it on iTunes? So, Chris, do you have that on your iPod?
I don't have that one, but I have found quite a few Disney theme park music, background music tracks on YouTube. And there are sites you can go to that will help you save those songs to your computer. So you can put them on your iPhone or your iPod and listen to them. That's what I've done. Okay. And that's one way.
That's not completely legal, though, right? Full disclosure.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm going to say that the music that I have is from an album called Magic Kingdom Event Party Music. It's Walt Disney Records from 2007, and it has all the Hallowicious songs, Boo to You, Boo to You, Pirates, Boo to You, Haunted Mansion, Boo to You, Villains, Groove a Go Go, all these different, I don't know, Villains Mix and Mingle music.
Yeah, everything.
And it looks like, I actually don't know how much it costs, but I can check while Mike is talking.
Well, that record has, or that disc, or CD, or whatever you want to call it, has it has music from the Villains Mix and Mingle.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It has music from the Boo to You Parade, and it has music from the, actually has the soundtrack from the Hallowishes Nighttime Spectacular.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So let me just see.
That, okay. As a matter of fact, that was on my playlist when we ran the Tower of Terror 10 Mile.
Yeah, me too. And it's really fun in October. I always make sure that is on my playlist. So what you might be able to do is to go to a place like the Toy Store at Downtown Disney. I saw all sorts of kind of unusual Disney music that you can't find on iTunes there. We did a search on iTunes and Amazon. It came up on Amazon as $55, but I don't know. I think Mike might have given me the original CD
that
from
looks
a long
like
time
the
ago.
CD, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we don't want to be paying $55
I did buy it at in Orlando. So
yeah. So I would definitely go and ask a cast member. You know, is this? I would be really surprised if the event music wasn't available.
Yeah, and I'm thinking it's going to be around $15.
Yeah. The only thing is that if you listen to that music, you're running along and you're singing "Boo to You" and you, over and over again. It's really not so scary. Okay. I don't know. Maybe that won't bug you. All right. Want to read the next one?
Sure. It's from Keith Colmos, who's from Eglin, Illinois. We have a lot of listeners in Illinois.
Mm.
Keith says, thank you very much. I completed 2 5K races in the last 10 days. Thank you for answering my questions along the way. I've learned so much. Can't wait to someday do a run down at Disney. Keith in Elgin, Illinois. So he has not run.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
And
thanks,
we hope
Keith.
You that you run soon.
Hope to see you soon.
Okay. The next one is from John Maloney from Hershey, Pennsylvania. And this is a really interesting question, and we've never had this one before. Hi, Michelle and Mike. Thank you so much for continuing to produce your entertaining and helpful podcasts. When I ran my first Goofy Challenge this year, one difficulty I had was sleeping the night after the half marathon. This made the marathon more tiring. Since then, I've had trouble sleeping the night after longer runs, 13 miles plus, even in training. Have you experienced this? Have you heard of any ways for remedying this? So, Chris, has this ever happened to you?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, the only time it really affects me is if I run after work. So if I'm running in the early or in the evening time, I find it's harder. I'm like wide awake after the run for a few hours, but not running first thing in the morning the way the half marathon is at Disney, that wouldn't affect me, I don't think.
That's interesting because that was the exact question that I had, I'm definitely more energized after a long run, but I've never had the problem of sleeping. Maybe you're just so excited. I think one of the things you need to do is just to make sure that you shut it down really early. And I don't want to recommend that anybody take any medication, but I know that for me, sometimes I need to take something to sleep for these, if my timing is kind of off in terms of sleep to make sure that I get to sleep on time. So that's what I do. I'm not recommending that anybody take medicine, but you don't want to be drinking alcohol. I think, just making sure that you're in bed, that you've got everything laid out, that I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
So I wanted to ask, John, unfortunately, you know, is not here. I wanted to ask him, well, if you're getting up for the half marathon, you're getting up between 2 and 3 in the morning, then you're going over to the gathering area, then you're going to the corrals, and then you're running the race, and you're finishing the race sometime mid-morning maybe, and or early morning, whatever, and then the question is, what do you do then? Yeah. The question is, what do you do then? If you're taking a nap and then you're waking up at 2 or 3 in the afternoon, sure, you're going to have a tough time sleeping that night. Well, my suggestion is to just keep going all day. Go back, take a shower, then go out to the parks and do whatever you can till about 6, 7, or 8 o'clock and then turn in, and I think you'll be okay. I think that both Chris, you and Michelle, I think, pointed out that, you know, when you run, your heart pumps, you know, you're getting all this oxygen in your system and you're waking up and you know, it's very tough. The fatigue will hit you later on in the day. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to do your runs. Well, if you do your runs at night, that's another story too. So number one, do your run. Number two, don't take a nap because you're going to need to sleep early that night because you've got a full marathon the next day.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, please do report back to us, John, and tell us if we missed anything here. All right. Should we do one more?
Why don't we do that next audio?
Okay.
Question.
Hi, this is Jennifer from Alabama, and I love listening to your podcast on my long runs especially. My question is for Michelle, really. Michelle always emphasizes on the podcast that Disney is no place for a PR because of all the characters. But here's my question. I'm within shooting distance, so to speak, of possibly being able to place in the top five in my age group with a PR for a half marathon of right around 1 hour and 40 minutes. My question is, with that in mind, would it make sense to go for a PR or should I just relax and enjoy the course? Thanks, and I always enjoy the podcast. Bye.
Okay, so this was from Jennifer, and Jennifer is trying to do a PR for a half marathon. She's trying to go for about a 149 or 150 time for a half marathon. And she was wondering about what we have mentioned on the show many times, which is that we, in our opinion, running Disney races is not the place that you do a PR. So should she bother to try it? What do you think, Chris?
I would not, just for all the reasons that you talked about in the past. I really love coming to these races to soak up the entertainment, to run with friends, even if that means dropping back several corrals to do so. It's really about that whole environment. You can run for a PR at any race the other 51 weeks of the year, right? Why not soak up what's unique about the Disney races and not worry too much about setting a PR? That's my approach.
That's a good point, Chris. And I've heard from so many people that said, you know, the cost of a Disney race is so much that you want to get your money's worth. So why try to run as quickly as possible and get off the course? You want to soak it all in. But regarding a PR, I think that what I would suggest, Jennifer, is that, if you want to, you can always think about, I always think about setting PRs for courses. So if I happen to run like the Disney, like the Tower of Terror race. I know I happened to have done a PR for that course, but that was because I was injured the last 2 years and I was a little bit less injured this year. So my point is that I think that it would be healthier to shoot for a Disney PR after you've done like at least one of them. So if she does a Disney race next year or this coming year, and then she does one the following year, maybe that's the kind of PR that she should shoot for. But I agree with you and especially Michelle. You know, there's so much to do. There's so much to see. It's so crowded. Enjoy the experience.
Well, I actually haven't answered yet, but so I'm gonna pick up on two things that you said. Number one, I agree with Chris that you could do it, but why do it for this race? Because I just think that the point personally of a Disney race is to have fun and to stop and see characters and run with friends. And the other piece, Mike, that I really agree with is these races cost a lot of money. Yeah. We squeezed a lot out of that marathon that we did, Chris, didn't we? We did a lot. I mean, we rode a roller coaster, and we stopped at pretty much every mile marker, every character. And we really enjoy, I mean, we made memories that are going to be very different than if we had run as fast as we could. You know, truthfully, Jennifer, if you're going for a 149 and you have previous races, you're going to be up in a very high corral. You're going to be in, you know, at the very back, probably a C or maybe a B. You probably could do a PR. And there are a lot of people who run in the A corral, B, who try for a PR. But I think we're saying resoundingly that the three people on this podcast would not. So, so let us know what you decide to do. So we'll have another last one.
our last question. Michelle, would you like to read?
Sure. This is from Bill Misick, and he says, "Hi guys, I'm a pretty new runner, but having started just over 6 months ago, I found your podcast a bit ago, and I love it. I love running, but not the first couple of miles after starting. During those first 2 or 3 miles, it takes a lot to keep going. Once past that threshold, things are fine. So on my longer Saturday runs, this isn't terrible, but on midweek runs, it's tough. Do either of you guys have trouble getting going on your runs? If so, what have you done to combat it?" I love this question. Okay, Chris?
Yeah, it's funny that this question came up because just a day or two ago, I saw a picture on the internet. It was a picture of a dog that was running and looked horrible. And a caption was like, "This is how you feel the first 3 miles of your run." And then the opposing picture was the dog was looking great. And that's exactly how you feel those first 2 or 3 miles. That's not unusual at all. And I don't know any trick to get through it other than to recognize that that happens and know that once you're warmed up in 2 or 3 miles, you're going to be in the zone and you'll be good from there.
So I agree 100% with this. And what I do is I do walk-run intervals that are closer together for the first 2-3 miles while I'm getting warmed up. So I may do something like a 30-30 for the first 2 miles. And then something happens for me magically between miles 2 and 3. I just feel like really good, usually really, really good. I think it's just sometimes when I go to races and I see people running around before the races, my instinct is, why are they doing that? But I think there's a reason that they're doing that. You need to warm up your muscles. And when you're running out the door midweek, you know, you're not having that chance to warm up your muscles. So I would say slow it down until you feel like you're where you need to be. That's where I kind of cycle right through my iTunes list and I find something that really gets me going, like my latest favorite song, and you know, something that really pumps me up, and that's what I use. And then after that 2 or 3 miles, just have faith that you'll feel a little bit better after that. Mike?
I've had this problem for the last 30 years and I'm just wondering if Bill is in my age group. I think that everything that both Chris and Michelle have said is true. I think that for me, it's more than just muscles, Michelle. I think it's the cadence, it's the breathing, it's the blood pumping. I think everything has to reach a certain threshold before I feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I dread that first mile. I dread that second mile. It takes me usually about 4 miles before I begin to get comfortable. And like you, Michelle, I usually try to figure out the best way to do that. And it drives Michelle crazy when we run together, but I do a crazy progressive Galloway run, walk, run method where every other run, I increase it either 5, 10, or 15 seconds. And that way, as I'm progressing, I'm not necessarily pushing myself to get to the point where I'd be comfortable, but I'm gradually saying to my body, you know, I need you to get to a certain point so I'm comfortable. So, Bill, you know, you're not alone. We're all in this together. And the only thing that I want to say before we sign off is try to be patient. Don't push your body too much because you could get injured.
That's a good point.
So be very patient.
Good point. All right. So we're going to close up the Mickey Miles podcast mailbag.
And we want to thank Chris because
he's a
validates all our answers.
Yes, he's a trooper. Chris, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me back again. Really appreciate the opportunity.
And thanks for being so supportive of the podcast. If you're on the Facebook page or you're a Mickey Miler, you know that Chris is one of the first people to jump up and cheer for you and give you a virtual high five. So we really, really appreciate that and love having you on the team.
Oh, thanks.
So for Christopher Smith and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we will see you on the road and keep those questions coming.
The Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing you premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.